Good morning.
Good morning.
If you would please take your hymn books, open to hymn number one. Hymn number one. We'll sing the first and last verse of this hymn, hymn number one. And let us sing.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yield his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Now, if you would please, go to your supplemental hymn book and turn to hymn number nine. Hymn number nine in your supplemental hymn book. We'll sing all of this hymn. Now, this hymn will be led in our opening prayer this morning. Hymn number nine. Let us sing.
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Thank you.
Bow with me in prayer. Our almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you've blessed each and every one of us here, Father, with another day of life and the strength and the will and the right mind, Father, to eagerly rise up out of our beds on the first day of the new week and to assemble ourselves together in order that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Our Father, we're thankful for our congregation here, Lord, for all of our members, Father, all of our leaders, our elders, our deacons, our preacher, Father. We pray that You would continue to bless each and every one of them here, Father. Bless all of our teachers, Father. And bless all those that help make our worship here possible, Father, whether or not they have a formal title or not, Father. For we know that the contributions of many are necessary in order to keep up the work of the church here, Lord. Our Father, we're thankful for our country. Lord, we're thankful that we can openly worship together, Father. We're thankful that we could spread the gospel here without persecution. And Father, as our country and our world's dealing with this pandemic, we pray that you would continue to bless each and every one of us, Father, that you might heal those afflicted, Father, and that you might continue to be our guiding light and hope as we work through this, Lord. Our Father, at this time we'd ask that you'd bless those that were mentioned as being sick, Lord. I know we had quite a few names that was mentioned, Father. We've got an extensive list that's published every week, Lord. I know that you know all the names on there, Father, and you know how they're afflicted, how they stand in need, Lord. And we pray that if it's thy will, that you might grant unto them the things that they need in order to be restored to a normal portion of their health and strength, Father. And Lord, at this time, we also ask that you bless all those that are bereaved. Father, bless those that are grieving. Bless the Long family, Father. And bless the family of our brother Shaw as well. Our Father, we're so thankful to you for all the many blessings of life that you give each and every one of us, Father. We know that blessings are too numerous to even begin to count or contemplate, Father. They're like the grains of sand on the beach, Father. But we know that indeed all things flow from thee. And we pray that you'd always help us to remember and understand that, Father, for we don't want a false feeling of self-righteousness or importance, Father. And our Lord, we're most mindful and thankful, Father, for your eternal grace and love, Father, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth to live the perfect life that he led and to die the horrific death that he died upon the cross of Calvary, Father. His resurrection, becoming that perfect Lamb of God, Father, whose blood washes away all of our sin and unrighteousness, Father. If we repent from those things and immerse ourselves in baptism, and then we rise up, Father, and continue to follow thy teachings, Father, and turn away from that old life and remain faithful unto death, Father. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, for a sacrifice, for becoming that perfect Lamb of God, Father. And we pray that the actions and the deeds and the things that we do in life will always be a direct reflection of our thankfulness for Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we continue our worship this morning, we pray that you bless our brother Norman, Father. May he have a good recollection of the things that he's prepared to talk about, Father. And as he presents them, Father, let's open our hearts that we might let the words of thy scriptures prick our hearts, Father. We may be able to implement them, take them into our lives, Father, and we might be able to be a better reflection of thy Son and help bring more lost souls unto thee and thy kingdom. And Father, we pray that everything that we do this morning would be well-pleasing in thy sight, Father, and be accordance with thy will and word. And we ask, Father, that you'd bless us through the further duration of this worship, Father. And we ask these and all things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Prepare our minds for taking of the Lord's Supper this morning. If you would please, turn your hymn book to hymn number 330. In this hymn, we'll sing the first and the second verse. The first and the second verse. 330. Let us sing.
Why did my Savior come to the world that to the humble grow? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He precious life for me, for me.
It is sometimes human nature to hear people say, you know, it's every man for themselves. Or for people to say, I'm only going to look out for my loved ones, or for those that are in my inner circle, those that are closest to me. But as we read in John chapter 10, 14 through 18, we read of an example of a freely given sacrifice. And that example was through Jesus Christ, who didn't decide on that day on the cross to just save himself, even though he had the power to do so, or to just say, I'm going to look out for just a particular group of people. But he gave his life for each and every person in the world, even people that had not been born yet. So as we come together, gather around this Lord's table, this is an opportunity for each and every one to clear our minds and to be mindful of that sacrifice and what it meant to each and every one of us. We have the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body. And we also have the fruit of the vine, which represents his shed blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to come together on this first day of the week, gather around the Lord's table. And we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for putting into motion that plan, that great plan of salvation, sending into this world the only begotten Son, Jesus. And we're so thankful unto him for being willing to give his life on that cross to not just save himself, Heavenly Father, but to give his life for each and every one of us so that we might have a chance at eternal salvation. And we pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that as we are about to partake of this bread, which represents his body, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us bow and give thanks for the cup. O kind and merciful Father, we thank you for this day of remembrance. We thank you for the privilege, the honor that we have to partake of this cup that represents the precious blood of Christ Jesus that was shed for many for the remission of sin. It is in his name that we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
If you would please mark your hymn books to hymn number 572. 572 will be the song of invitation this morning. 572. And after marking that hymn, if you would please turn over to hymn number 480. 480. We will sing the first and the last verse of this hymn. 480.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory. beneath the cleansing flood, I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory. And I heard about a street of gold, beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and that old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me there, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, yeah, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He belongs to me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
The scripture reading for this morning's sermon will come from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Again, that's going to be Acts 11, 25, and 26. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all sound just like it was before. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Truly, God has been good to us. He blessed us to see a day that we never seen before. Come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. I'm just glad to be able to have our family, our children here, and their families here for the holiday season. They all sitting up here on the front. So we're just glad to see them, and if you just pray for them, they all be traveling back, Lord's willing, on in tomorrow morning to Nebraska, Texas, and to Arkansas. But also, I got to make sure I say this because I'll be in trouble. Cadence's birthday is today. So on the way out, just wish her a happy birthday. She's 10 years old today. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and, Lord, for your blessings, this opportunity you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And Lord, just be with all of those that may be traveling back to their home. Lord, give them the traveling grace that they need to make it back safely. Lord, we just ask you to just continue to be with the Shaw family and be with the Long family as well in the loss of their loved ones, and be with those that may be traveling to this place at particular time, and just give them the traveling grace that they need.
And now, Father, as we go into your word, that we just focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situation. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before everlastingly too late. Gather in your word the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is a Christian? We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. It seems as though the world really has a difficult time defining what a Christian is. Think about it for a moment. If someone were to ask you point blank, without any chance to prepare your thoughts, just out of the sudden, out of all the clear blue, they asked, what is a Christian? What would you say? Many times we hear people say, oh, they are people who go to church. Well, it's good to come to church, but it's more to that. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you are a Christian. Just because you sleep in the garage doesn't mean that you are a car. So we have to understand that trying to answer that question may not be easy as you thought. When asked to define the concept of being a Christian, you may find out that it's not easy at first. Because when you look at our text this morning, our text says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, when you look at that, in the Greek, the word denotes relationship to a business or profession. See, throughout history, many people were named by what business and what profession that they worked in. But to understand about this Christian, there are three words that you find in verse 26 that we want to kind of look at to help you. And those three operative words that you look at is disciples, called, and Christian. Now let's look at that. When you look at the word disciple, the word disciple described the folk to whom the name were given. See, not everyone can wear this name. A disciple of Jesus is one who holds the teachings of Jesus. There in John chapter 8 and verse number 31, the word literally means a learner. But when it's used, it always implies agreement with and adherence to the teaching of the disciple's teacher. Those who learn from Jesus and adhere to his teaching are promised freedom from the bondage of sin and death. But then we look at the word called. Now, the verb translated called is a word that indicates God is the one who's doing the naming. See, Christian, when you look at Christian, to be a Christian means that you believe something, you follow something, you live something. Well, what is that something? That something is Jesus Christ. You believe Christ. You follow Christ, you live Christ, but also you belong to Christ. When you look at that I-A-N, many times you hear people say to me, I am nothing, and you're right, without Christ. You are nothing without Christ. But when you look at that word I-A-N, it means belonging to. Belonging to. So the name signifies we are Christ's people. Now, in the old pages of the New Testament, Christian is the only new name that is given for God's people. That you remember Isaiah? That what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 62. And verse number 2, he says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all the king's glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. See, what is that new name? When you look at Acts chapter 11, and they were called Christians first at Antioch. See, wearing human names give preeminence to men and their ideals, and not to Jesus and his teaching. Human names can conceal the fact that Jesus is the founder and the owner of the church. His are the teachings that you and I follow. See, I wear the name Christian because I belong to Christ. I want to bring him glory. If you have obeyed God, if you have went down in the watery grave of baptism, then you are called Christians, and you want to bring glory to Almighty God. See, I don't want to be known as a Protestant or evangelical or Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or even independent, just a Christian, because that's what they were called. They were called Christians. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This was the first time that they were so designated. It was because a time had come when a new name was needed, which would be neither too broad or too narrow. See, part of the problem today, it stems from the world's view of commitment. Commitment to Christ. Commitment to the church. It do not run parallel. Part of the problem, it stems from all the denominations confusing the issues with a bunch of man-made creeds and man-made doctrines, instead of just looking at the Bible as God's authority. Part of the problem, I want to tell you, part of the problem is our fault. Because why is that? Because we often stress one point over another instead of looking at the complete picture. And so when I look at this morning, I want to give you three definitions or three descriptions that I want to talk about in what is a Christian. And then we will conclude with the importance of becoming a Christian. First of all, a Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks. A Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 89, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Paul tells us that we should not allow anything to enter into our minds that will not bring praise to Christ and his church. As Christians, our mind is that through which Christ thinks. Therefore, our thoughts should be thoughts that are pure, should be thoughts that are honest, should be thoughts that are just. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Our mind should meditate or communicate with Christ on a continuous basis. Time and time again, the one thing Christ had on his mind was to do the will of his Father. We see that from the time he was a boy at the age of 12 in Luke chapter 2. We see that. But here's the question. The question is, are our minds set upon the thoughts of Christ and doing the will of our Father? So a Christian is a mind which thinks like Christ. A Christian, secondly, is a voice through which Christ speaks. It's a voice through which Christ speaks. What about our speech? Are the words we use, are they the type of words that Jesus used? Think about it. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Y'all know what salt does. And so we have to understand that. And so if a Christian is a voice to which Christ speaks, we need to be using our voice to tell others about the good news that Jesus can do for them. I think that if we would take a minute to realize what Jesus has done for each of us. He's freed us from our sins. He's given us the hope of eternal life in heaven. He's provided us with a book, the Bible, to instruct us, the Holy Spirit to guide us, challenge and comfort us, a church family to encourage us. We ought to be thankful for what God has done for us. So then, thirdly, a Christian is a heart through which Christ lives. It's a heart through which Christ lives. The heart is the very center of life. The scripture points that out, but also so do medical signs. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The scripture tells us that we need to give our whole heart to God. That is seen as a sign of love. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 5, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That type of love is a sign of devotion. People need to see Jesus in the life that we live. Let me say that again. People need to see Jesus Christ in the life that we live. And let me tell you, when people see you in your everyday life, do they see without a doubt someone who thinks like Christ, speaks like Christ, live like Christ? Do they see that in you and I? Or do they come away scratching their head wondering what is a Christian? They need to see Christ in you. They need to see it in the home. They need to see it in the workplace. They need to see it at the supermarket. They need to see it everywhere you go. And when they see it through the week, and then they come and they see you on Sunday, they don't think you're a hypocrite because you're living your life like Christ wants you to live 7 days a week. I like the way Paul talks about the Christian. When you have time, I want you to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through 10. You read that. Because what you see when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through 10, you see how Paul describes a Christian. He says a Christian is someone who has been chosen by God. That's verse number 4. A Christian is someone who responds to the gospel message. That's verse 5. A Christian is someone who regards Christ as infinitely more valuable than earthly suffering. That's in verse number 6. A Christian is someone whose life has been genuinely changed by Jesus Christ. That's verse 7 and verse number 8. A Christian is a person whose changed life changes others because of a commitment to be like Jesus and to follow him wherever he leads. That's in verse number 7 and verse number 8. And then a Christian is someone who has gone all in for Jesus. That's in verse number 9 and verse number 10. You read that. And so Paul describes that because you got to understand this morning, church, that there is more to being a Christian than just believing in God. Even more than being baptized, more than just going to church and being a member of the church. Being a Christian is allowing the will of Christ to take control of your life. Allowing Jesus to be more than a savior. Being a Christian the way Christ wants us to be and means making him master of your life. And so here's the question. How do you become a Christian? How do you become a Christian? See, becoming a Christian is one of the most important and essential doctrines of Christianity. People become Christians, listen to me, they become Christians when they do what the Bible says do and when they do what the people did to become Christians. If a person follows a plan to become Christian that is different from the plan that God has given, are they Christians? They may be a Christian in their own eyes, but are they in God's eyes? None of us have the right to alter God's biblical instructions and then conclude that it's okay with God. So what plan did the people of the New Testament follow to become Christians? The book of Acts records the beginning of the church. And when we study Acts, we notice that every person was told the same plan of salvation. And all who followed it became Christians. Listen, no one in the book of Acts were told to sprinkle water or pour water on the head. No one was told to sprinkle water on an infant to baptize them and then confirm their faith at the age of 12. Or 13, because that's what many to do is doing today, but that is what the Bible says. In Romans 6, 3 and 4, the Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. Just like Christ rose from the dead, we walk, we arise in the newness of life. No one in the book of Acts were told to pray the sinner's prayer to receive salvation. But that's what man teach today. But the Bible tells us in Acts 2 and verse 38 that we are to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Many today teaches that baptism is not essential to salvation. But that's not what the Bible has to say. In verse 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, that baptism doeth also now save us. You know, many people today teach you just go join the church of your choice. That's what man teach. But that's not what the Bible has to say. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, God's plan for personal access to the grace of God for salvation, not man's plan, but I'm talking about God's plan. God's plan is that you hear and believe. Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, that you repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5, that you confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, that you go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. See, the Greek word for baptism, it means to emerge. Go down into the water. In Mark 16, 16, Jesus said, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believeth not shall be damned. You then, once you obey those steps, you then become a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. The Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2, verse 47, what church? The church that he built in Matthew 16 and verse 18. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church that he purchased with his own precious blood. Acts 20 and verse 28. The church that he's the head and he's the savior of. Ephesians 5 and verse 23. The church that he loved, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. The church that he gave himself for, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And then you become a Christian and nothing but a Christian. Then you live faithfully unto death, Revelations 2 and verse number 10. Our job is to share the gospel with our neighbors. It's not our job to judge our religious neighbors, but it's our job to try to share with them, encourage them to follow God and have the scripture to be our only authority. That's our job. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, what did that mean? That means that people are going to have to lay aside human philosophies. They're going to have to lay aside creed books. They're going to have to lay aside all of these other names and let Christ be our only confession. A call to let the scripture be our only authority. And a call to let the name of the Savior be our only name that we wear. How do you know? Because Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This morning, if you're here this morning and not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've laid out to you how you become a Christian. They did it in the first century, and we're still doing it today. We're doing it just like the book, just like the Bible tells us to do it. You've heard the word. Believe it, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here and a Christian, but you strayed away, you've not been living as Christ wants you to live, now is the time to make it right with him. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If you're subject to the invitation, come right now. We stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, first and foremost, Father, for thanking you for another day of life, another day, Father, where we can get up and come, Father, and worship you in spirit and in truth, Father, and hear another portion of thy word. Father, we just thank you for being God, Father, just for being in our lives, oh God, we thank you. Father, at this time, we ask that you would continue to bless those, Father, who were mentioned today, who are bereaved, Father, the Long family, the Shaw family, and others, Father, that are on our list, that are sick, Father, that couldn't able to be here, Father, but we ask that you continue to bless them, Father, keep your ever-loving arms around them, Father. Father, at this time, we ask that you help us to be good Christians, O Lord, that we are able to exemplify who you are, Father, in our daily walk, Father. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask for those who are visiting with us today, Father, that you give them safe travels back to their destinations, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to keep us safe and keep us covered and keep us protected from this pandemic that we're living in, Father. And Father, with all things, Father, we ask that you forgive our sins, accept our thanks, bring us back here on our next appointed time. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.